Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are back in the house. Officially rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We got a loaded show today. Run TMC, Chris Sanders. We're going to have Nobias Wilborn of AllTitans.com, the Sports Illustrated version of the Titans coverage. So we'll have him on for a segment a bit later. In the meantime, we got David James.
Yes, sir.
Over here making it happen. Well, I think we should get into just this coaching staff. And it's beginning to look like it has been fully assembled. You still have this, well, special teams coach, they got that. You still have the strength and conditioning coach that has to be filled. But for the most part, Brian Callahan has filled his staff. So we'll take a look at those additions that he's had. Obviously, you know, we didn't get to talk about Denard Wilson and him coming aboard. I'll tell you this, a lot of energy is there with Denard Wilson. He is a guy that I think is going to make this cornerback group a lot better. So you have that. And then in addition to that, you look at just the secondary overall. I think they're going to be better. I actually asked him about just, you know, the versatility that he looks for in defensive backs. And then also just how things are going to be, because you have a lot of base packages which are nickel in defense now because of the way teams are using a lot more 11 personnel. Here's Denard Wilson on both of those.
There's more you can do, right? When you draft players, you know, you don't want to peg a player in one position. The more you can do to help the team become versatile, like you can have a corner that, you know, he brings a different aspect and he can line up in nickel and he's a good blitzer. He can line up in a slot, right? This is a matchup game as well. You know, there's so many great receivers in this game. And the game is spread wide open. You want to have people that's versatile, right, to play numerous positions, to line up, to be able to adjust and adapt to what you're getting from the offense.
And then on top of that, like this organization, they've struggled to develop the DB position. You look at guys you work with, you know, Jamal Adams, Hamilton, Bradbury. And what has been the key for you to be able to get the max out of these talented players?
Well, I live by these three principles as a coach. As a coach, you must be able to teach, motivate, and inspire. And any player that I've ever been around, the first thing I pride myself on being a hell of a teacher. I'm going to motivate them to be better than what they think they should be or reach the potential they're supposed to. And I'm going to inspire them to go get it. And the coaches that we have on the staff, they have the same mantra. They believe in the same thing. So when we get a player, whether we in free agency or in the draft, those are our guys. And we want to do everything we can in our power to teach, motivate, and inspire them to maximize their potential and go out there and have success.
So as you heard, right, he wants to have versatile defensive backs. He wants a guy that could play left, right, nickel as well. I think when you have that interchangeable aspect, you are able to really just field your best group of DBs. I think that's the way you look at it. I believe still that Roger McCreary will man the nickel spot. He's going to be a really good option for them. I think he's their best nickel guy. Now, there are some guys coming out. You know, you look at Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. I think, you know, he's a guy that they could draft. I think Cam Hart, these are a couple of long corners that could play on the outside. There's nickel guys, too. You know, a guy, Sean Stevens out of Miami, Ohio. This kid, he's not the biggest one, but he has 16 sacks over the, interceptions over the last 2 years. He's down there working at XPE, and for what I've been told, you know, he's really are going to blow up the pro day. He'll be at Michigan's pro day. He went to Ferris State. Actually, a teammate of Caleb Murphy. So you have that. But, you know, when you look at this staff, I think there's nothing but positive that you could pull from it. Steve Jackson and Frank Bush, these are veteran guys. I think, you know, you look at Steve Jackson and Frank Bush, you know, coming from Atlanta, that leads me to another corner I firmly think the Titans should pursue, and that's Jeff Okuda. They actually were with him in Atlanta, so you have that also. But the defensive line coach, you know, Coach Rocker, he has a history with this team, right? He was here before, and now he's back. And then you look at, you know, some of the guys that he got to work with in Philly. Now, don't get it twisted. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, You know, these were already established guys. Let's not get it twisted. But they had very productive years in a time when Rocker was there. And then you look at some of the other players, you know, whether it's Hassan Reddick, you know, he's worked with some pretty quality guys. So you have him there in the mix. I think having him back will be good. Let's see how he could push Jeffrey Simmons, who, you know, I talked to Simmons a week ago, and he told me he's excited about Denard Wilson, you know, being there. And I don't blame him. You know, this is a staff that brings energy. Denard Wilson said that he spoke to Jeffrey Simmons, and he talked about how Simmons is a guy that can wreck a game or win a game all by himself. That's a good vote of confidence, and you want to have that in your guys, your premier players, your ones that are making it happen. So you look at that, but then also, you know, you keep rolling down the line. Lori Locust, you know, bringing her back. A lot of people, I remember I posted a video of her, and I think it was Harold Landry working together, and you know what, Twitter or X, it's a cesspool of negativity and just people who just wallow in misery. So naturally, you post a female coach, football, et cetera, and they're going to come out. But I will say this, those of you who like the success that Harold Landry had, you should like the coaching that Lori Locust brings, because I'm telling you this from actually being at the practices and seeing, especially during individual period throughout the whole year, her and she and Harold Landry, they were on a separate area working together for a portion of individual period. And a lot of the hand techniques and different things. And then Caleb Murphy is a guy that, you know, I've had speak up about her as well. So I think when you look overall at this grand scheme of things, she's an outstanding coach for them as well. Scott Booker, unfortunately, he moved on to Buffalo. He took a DB job and an assistant DB job and senior defensive assistant. He has that role. Chris Harris is still there, so you know the energy is going to come. You guys are seeing my videos of him bobbing to all kinds of music and just, you know, bringing that energy that you need as a coaching staff. The defensive staff, I think, is going to be outstanding. I've jokingly called them Harlem Knights. You know, you got Denard Wilson, who plays Eddie Murphy. you got Chris Harris, who's Arsenio Hall. You got Frank Bush and Steve Jackson. That's Red Fox and Richard Pryor. We could just keep going down the line. You know what I mean? Coach Rocker, he'll play the champ. And then it's funny, Jarrett Stillman, he's Danny Aiello. If you saw Harlem Nights, Danny Aiello was always trying to sabotage the group in Richard Pryor's squad in Harlem Nights. So hey, that's Jarrett Stillman. But no, all jokes aside, I think the defensive coaching staff is going to be interesting. It's a mix of youth and veterans, and I look forward to seeing how that works. Now you flip it to the other side. Nick Holes, he's an interesting coach. Just in observing him, he seems like he's a little more laid back, a little more reserved, not as aggressive and straightforward. I don't want to say straightforward, but not as like alpha type as Denard Wilson, and that's fine. But he comes across as very, very strategic. I could see him as the guy behind the scenes pushing the button, saying, hey, look, this is how, you know, that type of thing. And in this role, that's perfect because he is actually going to be helping put together the game plan. He may not be calling the plays. He won't be calling the plays. We know Brian Callahan will be doing that. But, you know, you look at him in the mix, I think that it's going to be an interesting combination, right? I want to see how he does unlock Will Levis and the offense, the explosiveness. He said that Will Levis is one of the reasons why he wanted to come work with this staff. And you look, you know, last year he worked with Trevor Lawrence. You know, in his catalog, he has, you know, quarterbacks like Andrew Luck at Stanford. So there are some good things there. I'm just curious how that reservation type of approach is going to work with these players. We'll see. Tyke Tolbert, outstanding coach. I know personally from some friends who have played for him and also who have covered him, he's going to be good. And I think you look at a Treylon Burks type, you know, he in this offense, it should help him, because I believe Brian Callahan is going to find a way to get him to football. So you have that. Tyke Tolbert has a history of working with outstanding. Anquan Boldin, You know, Sterling Shepard, these are guys, you know, in rookie years had outstanding seasons. Lee Evans, you look at, you know, going on down the line. A bunch, DJ Moore last year. So DJ Moore actually had career highs in catches and receiving yards with the Chicago Bears, might I add. So, you know, you do have something there. And you look at Tyke Tolbert, there's a tie there to Darnell Mooney, a guy who you all know I've been, you know, saying the Titans should go ahead and sign. I felt that they should have drafted him, to be honest with you. We had him on talking with TD. He trained with Derek Mason here in Nashville leading up to the draft. So that's another move there. Keeping it rolling, you look at James Otten, you know, Coach Otten working with the tight ends. Obviously, that's an area for improvement, right, with Chig Okonkwo and Josh Wiley. I think they'll only get better. So I think there's a lot of positive that you could gather here. Obviously, Bill Callahan, you know, is one to talk about. When you look at the quarterbacks coach, you know, this is an area where I felt the Titans, you know, came up short. I'm not saying that because of the coach. I'm saying that just because of, you know, when you have a guy like Charles London moving on, you know, there's a lot to be filled in. You know what I mean? A lot to be filled in because Charles London was a big part of Will Levis's progress. However, you enter Bo Hardigree, and, you know, he's the coach now. A lot of coaching years. You know, you're talking about 16 years of coaching, 11 years in the NFL, so you do have that. It's funny. I guess it's like a prerequisite to coach on the offensive side of the ball. You have to have worked with Derek Carr. He's the third guy to have done that, if I'm not mistaken. More recently, you know, developing Mac Jones in New England. And I know you say Mac Jones and you're like, Mac Jones? Well, you know what? He had a pretty good rookie year, right? You know, 22 touchdowns, 3,801 yards. You know, they won 10 games. So there is something to be said there. So we'll see how that works, right? I mean, you know, other quarterbacks that he's worked with include Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, Ryan Tannehill. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. He has ties to Tannehill from the Dolphins days, of course. So that's going to be another opportunity for someone to prove themselves with Will Levis. So it's a wait-and-see approach. Bill Callahan, we don't even have to speak on him because we already know what he brings to the table. But we'll see how this whole coaching staff is able to come around. I look forward to watching them in practice, seeing how they interact with the players, seeing how Brian Callahan is going to oversee everything too, because you know the offense is his baby. So we're going to go ahead to a break. We'll be right back, talk a little more shop.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Run, run, DMC.
For you, fresh. Here they come.
Yeah.
Ooh-wee. Music fades. The lights dim. Where are we going? And now, coming to you live from Seattle, Washington, starting at power forward for your Seattle Supersonics, from Concord High School in Indiana, number 40, Sean Kemp.
Man, that's so. And now, starting for the Tennessee Titans, outside linebacker and D.N. Rush, Harold Landry.
Harold Landry coming off a really good year, so I'll be that.
I had to hit you with an up-to-date, man. But I was going to cover some crazy stuff. I'm like, man, let me get my up-to-date. I said Sam Cassell, Al Jarreau, Bootsy, all that crazy stuff, but let me hit him with an up-to-date one.
Yeah, man, I had to get you with the rain, man.
Man, Kip, man, he's a dunk. Who'd he dunk on with his knee was all up in his
face? Oh, and he did the point. He pointed at him. I forget who that was. Wait. No, that was Dominique that caught Larry Bird something vicious. Who did Sean Kemp dunk on? I forget who he dunked on. But
when
it was,
he dunked on him, his knee was in his face.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I would have retired. I just walked off the court and be like, man, hey, I would have thrown up the deuce and just kept going.
Yeah, I would have took my jersey off and threw it. Yeah, that was bad, man. So that was disrespectful. You, hey, listen, you know, we continue to work through this offseason.
Sure.
That's the word. And, wow, well, not even continue to work through, but we're starting it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah. –
You had the contracts expire. You know, Derrick Henry, Azeez Alshire, contracts, among others, expired. And I guess that takes us to something that we need to discuss that we haven't really. I mean, this is Run TMC. Derrick Henry brought us in. What's up with the running back position, man? How does that appear to play out?
You know, I mean, I think they need to get somebody and get somebody in the draft. But here's a guy that I might say that you might be like, whoa, Deontay Foreman.
I won't say whoa. I will say, hey, I could see it.
Man, because you remember in the Cincinnati game about 3 years ago that when Derrick Henry was hurt and he came back, Foreman was balling, man. He's physical. He's big. He's one of those power backs. I don't know how this would fit in, you know, the Callahan offense. But when you have a running back that could back up Spears to take some load off him, I think that would be a good fit for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree there. Now, I will say this. I'll tell you a guy who's also a free agent. Gus Edwards. Now,
I was,
great minds. You know what they do. 13 touchdowns, and David, I'm sorry. You know,
the Gus bus?
You'll be all right, though, because
that's true.
You know what? If the Gus bus comes to Nashville, guess what? We'll probably end up there.
And very true.
Tractor 22.
Mm-hmm, very true.
Derrick Henry. He is now favored to sign with the Ravens. That's the betting favorite there.
Ooh, is that crazy?
Would be crazy. But hey, listen, that's for the Ravens show. Yeah. you look at Gus Edwards, though. You bring him in, that gives you a short yardage back that I think could help. Do you think it's mandatory that they add a veteran back?
I mean, they do. They definitely need a veteran back, because I know everybody's going to be mad if Derrick Henry's gone. You just can't replace a Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is the face of the franchise. I mean, he's one of the best running backs to ever come through the Tennessee Titans organization. But I think you need to have some depth to that position, especially a veteran. There's another guy that we're not talking about also. It's A.J. Dillon from the Packers. I mean, a guy like that, they can come in and make some plays, but also mentor Spears. I mean, Spears is a baller, but you still want to get a veteran guy to show these guys how to get it done. And I think those three guys that we named, I think they can be, you know, beneficial to the Tennessee Titans.
So those are three veterans there. And I agree, you do want to get a veteran and bring him in and just – you know, take that load a bit off of Tajay Spears, who is – look, I think he's going to be a fabulous player, big-time playmaker for them. So you do have that. But you look at the draft. Are there any – well, I'll start. I'll give you two guys in the draft that I think would be really good. And you know, we'll stay right here in Tennessee. And you look at Jalen Wright, and we're talking about a 210-pound back – with home run ability, and he's one of those guys where you could give him 10 to 15 carries and he'll be effective.
Yeah, and then also you look at the draft. I like that cat from Texas.
Yeah, Jordan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks. I mean, he's 6 feet. He's 200 pounds. He's physical, but here's what I love about him. He's got that wiggle to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some wiggle to him, and also that speed to where he can take it the distance. Then there's another cat that I love too is, you know, Bucky Irvin from Oregon.
Mm.
I mean, he's not a bad guy. I mean, he had 90.8 yards a game. I mean, he's physical. He can hit the home run. So those are two guys that I really, really like in the draft. So, you know, whatever the Tennessee Titans do, I think they can be successful.
I'll tell you another guy out of Kentucky, and he was here in Vanderbilt for a bit too, Ray Davis. And it's funny, when I watch him, I think Frank Gore. And
he's a dude.
Same body type, you know, as a guy that could catch out of the backfield, runs behind his pads really well, has that ability to just kind of like get into the tightest spaces, like through the tightest holes. I think he's a very all-purpose back. And you get somebody like that, you bring him in, and you know, when he's on the field, it's not like, oh, they're running the football. You know what I mean? And that's obviously what they had last year. What do you think of that?
I mean, it is. I mean, you want a guy like that that can come in and make some plays, be physical, but also, you know, run between the tackles and also, you know, have some guys miss tackles. But there's another cat that I want to talk about also, TD. And I was almost jumped off the chart because I can't believe I'm even saying his name. He went to Michigan. I can't say Michigan. You know, I can't say that. I can't do that.
You talking about Blake?
Blake Corum. I mean, he's not a burner. But here's what I love about him, TD, is he makes guys miss.
Mm-hmm.
he makes guys miss. I mean, look at some of the plays that he made, even in the championship game, he makes guys miss. He may not be a burner, but, you know, you want to be a guy that can make guys miss in between the tackles.
Yeah, and just create big plays. You know, yeah. The bottom line, they have to add, you know, a couple backs. I'm curious, though, Hassan Haskins, you know, I thought that he was worthy of being in a committee. It's been a year since he's played, so we'll see there. Julius Chestnut, you know, a.k.a. Yeah. Natron Means. You know, I called him that in person to his face. He just started cracking up. He said he's actually heard that before. I thought it was funny. But those are guys that, you know, I think are going to be in camp, and we'll see what happens there. Yeah. But, you know, they need to have a bunch to choose from with Tajay Spears leading the pack. How about this receiver position, though? You know, you got the T. Higgins situation where he'll probably get tagged. Brandon Ayuk, we talked about him last week. Do you think they have to make a big addition in the receiving room?
I think they do, but, you know, this would be an easier choice if we kind of knew what was going on with Burks. With me and my person, I'm not giving up on Burks because I think you get a little confidence in Burks. I think he can be a special, best of player. But here's some of the guys that I maybe may eyeball to maybe bring in, Marquise Brown. I mean, why not maybe bring him from Arizona? Then also we got T. Higgins. We don't know about T. Higgins if he's going to get franchise tagged or whatever. But here's some names that I'm going to throw out to you. You can say yay or nay. Van Jefferson from the Falcons.
Ooh.
Dude,
He's intriguing, but is he a difference maker?
Yeah. What about Juan Jennings from the 49ers?
Yeah, that's another one, but he's a restricted free agent. So it depends on the tender they put on him.
Now we're talking.
That's a move I feel is mandatory to make. I think it's a match. Listen, I like that because of the versatility he brings, but I think I get that later in the draft.
Yeah. Dude, this is crazy because the draft is so rich with players.
Yes.
That can make plays. So all the guys we named on that list. But when you go to the draft, I mean, look at the guys that are in there. You got Neighbors. I don't know if he's going to be there. Adunzi from Washington. You got Thomas from LSU. You got Franklin from Oregon. You got McConkey from Georgia. You got Walker from North Carolina. You got Coleman from Florida State.
You got
Mitchell from Texas. And your dog!
Leggett.
From South Carolina.
That's right. And, you know, the Coleman one, Keon Coleman is very interesting. Let me ask you this question because, you know, a lot of people, they look at him and they say the same thing about a few of the other receivers. You know, oh, well, his separation numbers aren't there. I don't trust a receiver that's always making contested catches.
What?
I'll let you laugh at it, you know.
What you going to get in the NFL? Contested catches.
Right. Don't
you? Well, can I be honest with you? Doesn't that drive you crazy,
It
man?
Does. It does.
I mean, it's going to be tighter coverage. You're going to have better players. You're going to be physical at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be tight coverage. Everybody's fast in the NFL. Everybody has great technique in the NFL. So you're not going to be burning by people like Tyreek Hill every time. That's just not going to happen. But if you can make contested catches at the college level, it's going to be even better when you get to the NFL.
Yeah, they always say, oh, well, he didn't create separation in college. He's not going to create it in the pros. I don't get down with that. Cornerback position, though, that's you're talking about separation. You know, let's go to the flip side of it.
Sure.
What do you think this Titans team needs to do cornerback wise?
They need a cover corner. I mean, they do. I mean, Christian Fulton, I know he's doing okay, and I'm not really sure about the situation with him. But I like the cat from the Bengals. How you pronounce that? Owuzie?
Yeah, Owuzie. That's a name that continues to come up.
Yeah. I mean, he's a cover corner. He's physical at the line of scrimmage. But then you look in the draft. There's some guys that are intriguing. When is a cornerback ever come out of Iowa?
Oh, you're talking about Cooper DeJean.
Yeah. Absolutely. Iowa, a cornerback, a shutdown cornerback. I'm not saying he's a shutdown cornerback, but he's smart and he makes plays and he takes great angles.
So Owuzie.
Yeah.
Are you on the train of Jalen Johnson or Lejarius Sneed, if those guys should free up?
I like Sneed.
He's feisty.
You say this all the time, TD. He's one of those guys that you want to fight in practice.
Yep.
man, come on, dude. And there's one guy that I used to be like that in practice, and it was a defensive back coach they hired for the Tennessee Titans, is Steve Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Jackson, he will jam you to the line of scrimmage. He was physical. He talks trash sometimes, but it just make you mad. So we're like, man, I just want to fight you.
Yep.
But the thing about it is they're great players. They're smart. They're intelligent. And they have a certain type of nastiness, TD.
Yeah, and you need that. That cornerback was like, you have to be nasty.
Yes.
As a corner and as a offensive lineman, you have to, linebacker too. Receiver, yep. Like you could have some nastiness to you, but you just got to have that all eyes on me approach, you know, as a receiver. Like, I want you to look at me and watch what I'm about to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And another cat that intrigues me in the draft, it's a funny kind of name. What they call him? Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Yes.
Kool-Aid,
yes.
That's the best name in the
place. Yeah. You know, Kool-Aid. I tell you, that LSU tape is pretty good to watch. Alabama LSU. You know, you see he and there's the other one, Terry and Arnold, I believe his name, number three. They're both top-level corners.
Yeah, but you need a shutdown corner because if you look at the league, TD, the league is a pass-happy league now. It's not a run-first, you know, pass-second. Now it's on pass-first. So you got to – if you're going to blitz and you want to go man-to-man in the back end, you're going to make sure you have some corners that can cover because if you don't get there, you're going to get exploited. So, you know, you have to make sure the guy that you bring in at the cornerback position that he is a shutdown cornerback, not an okay cornerback.
Yeah, you need lockdown. And that's what they're looking for, so – Yeah, man, that's all I wanted to get into. You know, I thought it was good to do that. Oh, quick question, or not even question, but statement. So,
Oh, man.
Me and my girl, you know, she met you, right? You know, we're watching Bustin' Loose, and you know, cause she's 7 years younger than me, so you know, I was trying to put her on to some of these younger these older movies, you know, and so we watched Bustin' Loose, and you know. They're driving the bus.
Oh, my God.
And there's a dude, right, with little mini afro. He had the Scully on, or what do we call it down here? Beanies, toboggans, right? He had the beanie on.
Yeah.
And he was driving the bus. And, like, all the kids started rushing to the front. And she looked at me. She said, baby, I thought you said this movie was old. What's that dude Chris Sanders doing in the movie? I said, hey, Libby. That ain't Chris Sanders. That's Richard Pryor. Y'all got the same mustache.
hey, quiet as kept, man. That's one of my favorite movies, man. I cried at the end, man, when he runs out the bus and he runs back and hugs the kid because he thought he was leaving. That's my favorite movie. But on the flip end, big dog, me and my beautiful
friend,
we were watching Different Strokes. and you know, they were kind of like in the room and they were talking. And my baby was like, I did not know that TD played in Different Strokes. I said, nah, baby, that's Willis Jackson.
This is Aziz Oshar and I'm talking with TD.
Back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing moving. You heard Aziz Alshire bring us back. He's a free agent, pending free agent now. We'll get into that in a little bit more with our next guest, who is new to the Titans beat, and that is Nubias Wilborn of AllTitans.com, Sports Illustrated's individual team site, and he covers the Titans here. Nubias, what's going on?
Man, blessing. It feels great outside, man. Good day to be here.
Absolutely. It's every day is a good day, but today is an even better one because of the weather. So I agree with you there. You heard Aziz Alshire bring us back. When you look at this, Titans, that's just okay. Let's look at it this way. Are there any free agents or pending free agents for the Titans that absolutely have to be brought back?
Well, I mean, you just said his name right there, right? I mean, you know, one of your better tacklers, one of the guys who's been a consistent leader from what I've been told and what I understand. I think he probably is priority number one. I'm sure fans would like a certain running back to stay. I'm sure fans would love that. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would say if not Derrick Henry, it's definitely on demand who we just heard talking.
Absolutely. What about Danico Autry? Are you have any thoughts there for Danico?
I mean, you know what? Look. Edge rushers of that kind of ilk who can get to the passer are solid. I think you have to show it more, but it's kind of really tough to gauge considering this was a team that was middle of the pack in sacks last year. He was a part of that but obviously missing Jeffrey Simmons seemed to have a major impact on that team those last three games.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of hard to know how good the Nico Autry is, at least from what my very limited view of seeing the Titans.
Yeah. I will say this. I believe it's imperative to bring him back. Danico Autry is a must re-sign. He's 33 years old, I know, but was it, I think, David, 12 sacks last year? Something. I think he had 12.
That sounds about right, like 12 yeah. sacks, maybe, so, maybe 10.
When you have that in addition to, just, yeah, it was a career high, in fact, 12 sacks, if I'm not mistaken. And then not only that, the way he plays against the run, he sets the edge. You could play him up and down. As you mentioned, Jeffrey Simmons not being in the mix, you know, you're losing a guy who consistently took on double teams. I think that Mississippi State tandem there with Autry and Simmons is one that they have to maintain. As you move into the secondary, are there any thoughts? Sean Murphy Bunning, Christian Fulton, do you Kevon Wallace?
I mean, to be quite honest, I think I could live without either one of those guys. I mean, to me, from what I saw, again, I'm still coming in very limited.
Yeah.
But from what I saw, I don't think those guys are dudes who are special, unless they're very special to the locker room mm-hmm. and they matter to chemistry. But, I mean, your team was 24 free agents, so it's going to be a whole new thing anyway. And none of those guys, to me, have shown anything. Was like, ooh, wow. Maybe Murphy Bunting a little bit, but.
I like his physicality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the way he comes up and plays the run. He's a little grabby, but, yeah.
I mean, but outside of that, like, I don't think any of those guys you're going to look back and be like, oh, man, we're doomed without that guy.
Yeah, I don't see that out of the secondary either. Christian Fulton is intriguing to me, but that ship has passed. I have good reason to believe he has no interest in coming back here. But we'll see what happens. You know, you never know how free agency works out. While we're on the topic of cornerbacks, now I will say this also before we hone in on cornerbacks. Kevon Wallace, Terrell Edmonds, those guys are going to be free agents. I think Wallace is the guy I would look at signing. And it's going to be low cost. He could be one of your starting safeties. He has history with Denard Wilson dating back to their time in Philly together.
Mm.
But spinning it back to cornerbacks, free agent-wise at cornerback, do you think this team needs to make a big splash?
A big splash? Maybe not a big splash, but they could get somebody solid. Because here's the thing. I think the best is yet to come for Roger McCreary. I really do. And again, maybe I'm biased because I cover him at Auburn, so I'll put that out there. But he hasn't shown his best yet. And I think there's a lot more with him. Mm-hmm. I think you prepare him with a nice OG vet to kind of keep bringing him along, teach him the ways. I think you could be solid. You don't have to go get a big-time guy at that position. Just somebody competent and confident.
So you're out on Jalen Johnson, Lejarius Sneed at that price tag?
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, hey, now we'll see what the actual cap is because we know we were expecting him to be around 65, but then right. You got needs on offensive line. They're going to cost a whole lot of money. You probably could use another edge rusher.
It's okay to say no at that price tag.
I'm right. just saying.
I say no also.
It's a lot of money, yeah. But I'm not knocking those players. I mean.
Right. But you're saying at the price tag,
yeah,
a $20-plus million a year player, you don't feel that investment.
I mean, yeah, sure. Based upon the salary, I mean, it ain't my money, so, you know, whatever. Yeah. But based upon the rules of the game, you might can spend that money better places.
Okay. So now that those top guys are excluded, are there any other guys, whether a Dory Jackson, Chidobe Awuzie, you know, any of those types of guys? Like, I'll tell you right off the bat in the opening segment, you know, Jeff Okuda is a guy that I firmly believe the Titans should sign. Even if it's a one-year deal, I firmly believe Jeff Okuda is a guy they should sign. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what happened in Atlanta. I would imagine in that 1 year, I would imagine Steve Jackson and Frank Bush do mm-hmm. because they were there in that coaching staff. So this is outside looking in. I think Jeff Okuda, you got a former top five pick. There's a lot of talent. He didn't just all of a sudden forget how to play football. I see what my guy, Denard Wilson, can do with him.
Oh, yeah,
what
absolutely.
Chris Harris could do with him. So that's a guy I'll stand on the table and say, hey, Titans need to sign him.
And I won't knock that, and I can respect that. So actually, I wrote yesterday, Chidobe Awuzie
yeah.
is a guy who Dobe, I like yeah. a lot. Chidobe, I like yeah. that guy a lot. Very talented. also was a former Bengal, so he's going to be familiar with Shanahan. He's going to be familiar with that whole system and all the things they do on offense and on defense, which can help. It always is good to have that. So he's a guy who I would stand on and say, hey, get him if you can.
Yeah, Dobe. I like Chidobe. I remember that draft was in Philly when he came. Actually, Adoree was in that same draft, and I remember talking to him, and I liked him a lot coming out. He and Akello Witherspoon, they were together at Colorado. Who Witherspoon is also a free agent, which wouldn't be a bad move as well. But Chidobe, he's not a high interception guy, but he's just a physical corner, and I think that would be a good move. Do you think this team needs to sign two and draft? Or, like, how do you think they should approach the cornerback position? Because, I mean, right now it's Trey Avery, Eric Garer, and McQuarrie.
Yeah, I mean, they're in such a bind, dude. I mean, they need probably two offensive linemen. You got to replace pretty much the whole left side, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to move Skronsky over. Yeah,
but I'm talking about the secondary.
No, what I'm saying is – yes, but
we know the offensive line has to.
But how's it going to work, man? That's a lot of needs, man. But yes, that's what they need to do. But can they afford to do it within the cap structure?
They have at least 60. They'll be able to afford it. Mm-hmm. So that's not the question, whether or not they can afford it. Do you think they should sign two or more corners?
Of course. I mean, yes.
So it would be Adoree. Dobe. Awuzie. Dobe with Awuzie, Chidobe Awuzie. So it would be Awuzie. Do you have another option you think they should?
I mean, hey, maybe go big. Maybe go Adoree too. I mean, you just figure it out. I mean,
Adoree would be a good option.
Yeah. I mean, you go there, get those two guys. Again, they could be veterans that can help a recruiter along the way, really bolster, then see what you get. They're not going to obviously draft the corner in the first round, but you see what you get some of those later rounds.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talented guys out there. So, I mean, why not?
I will say this. You talk about the draft. I went back and I was watching some Washington because I said, well, you know, we got to check out Roma Dunze. Got to check out Jalen Polk. Got to check out Troy Fatuano and Roger Rosengarten. Michael Penix Jr. for that matter. There's a lot to watch when you're watching Washington. Despite all those guys on offense that I'm focusing on and watching, I kept coming back to a guy on defense. In two games that I watched, because you know they played Oregon twice, right? Early in October and then in the Pac-10 or Pac-12 championship, Kyrie Jackson.
Ooh, that's a bad man. That is a bad young man.
I liked him down at the Senior Bowl, but then watching him again, and I remember, you know, watching some Oregon games, and I kept going like, man, he's physical. He's feisty. He's fiery. I like him as a corner. I didn't realize he was 6'3", though. The movement skills that he has at 6'3", very attractive.
And that's the thing, again, his guy's going to grow into his body more. He's going to mature more. Mm-hmm. You get him in the right system, I think he can shine. Because, again, if you can shine as a corner playing in that conference with all those quarterbacks, and you mentioned an Oregon game against a good Bo Nix, all those receivers, and you held your weight.
Yeah.
Nah, you got some game, fam.
Yeah, no, he definitely has game. And so, I mean, he's going against Troy Franklin and them in practice, you know, and then, you know, going against Washington, taking on Adoonze. Like, there were times now, don't get it twisted, Rome Adoonze caught a couple touchdowns on him. You know what I mean? But that's Rome. Still, I like the way he was willing to take on Adoonze and Jalen Polk, one-on-one, little safety help over top. I was impressed with that. Another guy that I think is intriguing is Notre Dame's Cam Hart. And I'm not sure if you got to watch any Marvin Harrison Jr. tape yet.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're watching it and you want to get a positive eval on him, don't watch Notre Dame. Because Cam Hart put some clamps on
him. Listen, I watched that game live, right?
Yeah, and I remember. I watched it. The Browns game, night before the Browns game.
And I'm sitting here like, and obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., is that guy, even though we still can't really say his dad's name, right? But, you know, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
That being said.
I was a gangster.
Like, straight like that. But with a guy like him, and you playing against Notre Dame, and you can't get off, I need to go see who that corner is.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I mean, don't get me wrong, they had a good game plan for him and all that. They bracketed, they did all those things you're supposed to do. But No, that young man showed something.
Yeah, Cam Hart was impressive there. So I think you can go about addressing the corner pretty heavy, and they're going to need to. You look at what they have. Now, we mentioned the cap space and just how there's so many needs. Is this – should Titans fans expect a Texans-like or Jaguars 2 years ago-like turnaround?
I mean, how good is Will Levis?
That's the question.
I mean, because that's really going to answer it, because C.J. Stroud – he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And my man Trevor Lawrence, when he came in, he was that dude. Now, I don't know how great Lawrence is, but that first year, he stunned it out here. Okay? Can Will Levis replicate that? Mm-hmm. Obviously, having a better offensive line of help. But really, a lot of the Titans' questions and answers are going to start and end with, is Will Levis that dude?
Do you think he is?
I think he has the potential to be.
Yeah.
I think he has the legs. I think he has the arm. Uh-huh. I think he has the toughness. Now, sometimes he might be a little too tough.
Right.
You know.
Realize the journey's over.
Hey, son, slide, young man.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're a hockey player and all that, and I respect it. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you got to slide. You know what I'm saying?
Let's get into that, because you have a history with Will Levis. Tell me a little bit about that.
So, when I was with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the COVID year, basically, the quarantine year,
mm-hmm.
covered him when he was the Penn State quarterback. So, the interesting thing, he was behind a guy named Sean Clifford. He mm-hmm. couldn't beat out Sean Clifford at the time, but they still ran packages for him. Now, the interesting thing is it got really heavy on run. Basically, there was a point where there was like over 50 snaps in a row where it was a run whenever he was in. And most of the time, it was him running. And really? He was trucking for some yards with some nice legs, but he never threw it. So when he gets to Kentucky, I'm like, oh, wait, he's got an arm too? Because keep in mind, that year we couldn't watch practice because it was the quarantine year, the whole thing. So an interesting story was, when I get down here, we recognize each other. I was like, hey, man, I never actually met you. He's like, oh, man, it's so cool to actually meet you. Yeah, because that whole year I'm covering this dude, and it's only through Zoom. So that was a real cool kind of moment to actually meet a guy who I hadn't. But no, I've always liked Levis. Mm-hmm. I've always thought highly of him. I think he's very talented. I think he's very capable. It's just like any other quarterback. Can you put it together? Also, it would help you had a few more receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, D-Hop, bad man. And D-Hop gave that man a very high compliment at the end of the season, saying he's an ultimate competitor, those kind of things. Obviously, the Titans have made it clear they're moving forward with Levis. The ball's in his hands. It's just a matter of, can Callahan's offense do what it needs to do?
Yeah.
And what is he going to do in the offseason?
Some more background on you. How did you get started, and you know what was your path to this point?
Geez, how long we got? Now
we got about 2 or 3 minutes.
All right, so I'll give the very abbreviated version. Yeah. Long story short, grew up in Atlanta. Started out with Fox Sports South doing AFC stuff way back when, and ACC stuff. Then from there, went to Cleveland, Ohio. Worked for the Plain Dealer. Covered preps up there and in small colleges. Then got to help out on Cavs, got to see cover a championship.
Mm.
Went down to Tallahassee, worked for the Tallahassee Democrat. Actually covered healthcare for a while.
Wow.
Did healthcare, which really gave me a background into covering injuries and different things like that. Helped out on Florida State, but did like healthcare, dealing with senior citizens, all types of crazy. Also very Florida man stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come back to Atlanta, worked for the Marietta paper, covering Atlanta Braves when the Braves went there. Went from there to Pittsburgh at the Post-Gazette, covered Pirates, and then also the Penn State stuff. Down to Alabama, where I won the NSMA Best Sports Writer in Alabama. By the way, the first African-American to ever win that award for that state. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Covering Auburn, and then now here. And then it'll stop at Newsweek as well, but yeah.
Yeah, so now you're here to stay.
Hopefully.
we'll see how it goes. Yeah, I definitely wanted to – you know, introduce you to the fans, give you a chance to explain your background and what you bring to the table. Looking forward to this upcoming year. We got the off season that will funnel through the combine, the draft, and then it's right into rookie mini camp, and the show is back going. So I'm looking forward to it. It's good to get you on here. We'll definitely do this again. Appreciate that. Nabias Wilborn, alltitans.com. Your Twitter handle is?
At NWILBORN19. It's NWILBORN19.
There it is. So there you have it right there. Awesome show today. We had Chris Sanders run TMC, talking shop. We got into a lot there. And, hey, man, we were able to orchestrate an introduction, right? Nobias Wilborn of AllTitans.com. Appreciate him stopping by. Folks, make sure you give him a follow. Listen to this a couple times because he dropped some knowledge and you got some background there. Make sure you check out what he has on Twitter and also on AllTitans.com. Very good content there. So appreciate each of you for tuning in. You already know what to do. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Search Talking With TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.